Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. About an hour left here of the program. Happy to take your phone calls, open phones, whatever's on your mind. There's a whole lot going on locally, nationally, certainly politically. There's a lot going on. But I want to hear from you at 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Grand Plattner.
Yes, sir.
So I've been doing a little research, and my source for this information is ChatGPT.
Okay.
For your listeners who don't know what ChatGPT is, it's an AI intelligence that scans the entire internet mm-hmm. for any information that you ask it, and it puts it in a relatively easy-to-read, clear format. To obtain information about something. I've been using it to fix stuff around the house, and it's been very, very useful for that.
Excellent.
Seems it's pretty dead on, okay? So I asked ChatGPT, did Grand Plattner ever work for Blackwater Securities?
Okay.
And this is the information that it gave me. And I asked people to go and download that app on your phone. You're going to find it very useful, and do the same that I did. He did not work for Blackwater, because by the time that he got out, Blackwater had already been disbanded.
Okay.
But he did work for a private security military company called Constellis. That's spelled C-O-N-S-T-E-L-L-I-S, Constellis. That's how I pronounce it. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
Okay.
And it is a forerunner of Blackwater and doing private security and military work in Afghanistan after his Marine Corps service was done and through. So Blackwater was one of, in the eyes of the left, Blackwater was one of the most evil companies that ever existed on
right.
the planet Earth.
You're right.
Okay, if you know the political issues and the culture. And all of its subsidiary, its forerunners, by the way, the forerunner of Constellis, none of the owners of Blackwater were involved, but they inherited a ton of their contractors and their contracts that they had with private security around the world. So he worked for them. I don't know if you would call that an issue, per se, but to me, it's another area of research that needs to be done, and mm-hmm. and I want to know exactly what went on. I think I don't live in Maine. My son does, and that's why I follow Maine politics really carefully.
Right.
He works. He's a ship inspector with the United States Navy, and he inspects the ships coming out of Bath Iron Works.
Oh,
that's what he does in the employment up in Maine, and so. I think it's pretty interesting, and people should be aware that this guy has a really shady background mm-hmm. and a lot is not known about him. And I think, in fact, the Republicans have a tremendous amount of information on him, but they're waiting for the July 13th drop-dead deadline where they can't replace him.
Explain that, what that is.
Okay, so on July 13th... the primary process is closed
mm-hmm.
and that Grand Plattner will be the only person permitted on the final ballot in November against Susan Collins. So that is a drop dead. They can't replace you. So I believe the Republicans have, and even John Fetterman, and I've heard quiet chat in the background that they're going to do a dump on July 14th on Grand Plattner that could, in fact, they may even have another woman out there who claims a full-on sexual assault, a rape on him. That's because I do a lot of, you know, I have a job where I have a lot of time on my hands.
Nice
and
job.
I do a lot. Yeah, I do. They don't ask me to do a whole lot. And so I spend a lot of time reading articles, and I try to go to decent sources.
Sure. Yep.
I try to stay away from really biased sources, and I've been using this chat GPT, and I find it, like I type stuff in it that I really know, and it comes back dead on. So I've grown to sort of trust it to a degree.
You got it. I agree with you. It's a great tool, but you got to check it. And it's always evolving, as you know, if you use it. So,
yep.
And it's only getting better, more accurate, but it can send you, it can give you information. You can't just 100% trust it. You got to trust but verify, right? Like Reagan said.
Absolutely. I even believe that even in hardcore sources like Fox News or CNN or ABC, even those places, you get biased. But chat seems to cover all the rumors, sort of, and they put that under rumor category.
Yep.
But then they resort to the hard information that is that has been verified, too. So it's interesting reading, and I do urge your listeners to start to play around with it, because I'm 67. It's the future.
Totally.
It is the future. And
it's easy to use, right? It's easy, very easy to use.
It is easy to use. So I'm going to put that out there. And the left can think about who this guy would never have been nominated, in my view, 4 or 5 years ago.
No,
he's a byproduct of Trump derangement syndrome.
Yes,
his whole campaign is motivated not by the betterment of America, but by hate of Donald Trump.
Right.
But Trump is just standing in the way for the MAGA. For conservative Trump supporters.
Right.
So they see them as the real end. I've seen liberals out there saying that they're comparing, they have to de-MAGA the country after
yes.
Trump leaves, like they have to de-Nazify Germany. They're making that comparison. And yet their guy is the guy with a Totenkopf tattoo on his chest. And the History Channel, I saw a fantastic documentary on the evolution of the Death Head or the topograph tattoo. You have to see that on the History Channel.
Okay.
It is scary. It is spooky to the core. It is like a satanic ritual where they hand out the death head rings to the Waffen SS. It's a very dark thing that he put. And I get it. He was a drunk Marine one night, but he wore it on his chest for 17 years.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Years. He walked around. I get, you know, you as a young drunk guy,
yeah.
and with your war buddies, and you're out, you know, thinking you run the planet, and you do stupid stuff.
Right.
But to have it on his chest for 17 years indicates, and he looked at it in the mirror every time he stepped out of the shower or whatever
Absolutely.
He was doing. You're telling me that he didn't say one day, I'm going to get that removed or covered up? But he only did that when he got interested in politics, when
right.
he started to toy around with the idea of running. Then he decided that was a liability, but he wasn't led there by his heart. He was led there by political motivation. And with that, Chris, I've kept up enough of your time. Love your show. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. That was a great phone call. Wide ranging, right? Everybody should get used to ChatGPT. And there's other IA type applications out there. And because it is the wave of the future, and that Plattner race is outrageous. And again, the point is just how he summed it up. People make mistakes, but he left that mistake, a Nazi tattoo on his body, for 17 years. Only until he started to become involved in politics did he recognize it as a liability, right? That should terrify everybody, particularly the former attorney general of Massachusetts, the current governor, Healey. Maybe that's why most people want to get out of the state. 508-996-05. Back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
What's happening?
Well, I'm not from Maine, but
right,
I am
not.
From I am from Massachusetts. The Plattner thing, hey, maybe he's reformed, maybe he's not, but as they say in the movie, why take a chance? You know, why
right.
vote for the guy? Why vote for him, you know? That's what I see for that. But what I'm concerned with mostly
right.
is Mike Minogue. Who is he? You know, he had a dub for his campaign song, Who Are You? Who, you know, like that. I don't know much about the guy. The guy goes on TV.
Right.
He's got his campaign commercials. And he's walking around, patting people on the back, shaking hands, smiling for all he's worth.
He patted a goat, too. He was patting a goat. In one of his commercials, he's patting a goat.
Yeah. Maybe you got to get a cat or something and can pat that a dog or something. Be more American, I guess. I don't know. But the guy isn't out there. I hope he doesn't get this nomination. And then all of a sudden, Healy, who can debate, takes him apart. If he chooses even to do that. Because I got a funny feeling he won't want to debate her either. Go ahead.
I contemplated that the other day on the air. It just popped into my head. Like I said, maybe his Mike Minogue's strategy is that he's not going to debate anybody. That he'll just leave the choice up to the voters in November with what they've got from Healy and what they've got from him. Should he be the nominee? Yeah, I think he ought to debate.
He's smiling his way through the campaign. He's just smiling his way. I want to know what you think. You know,
I've met him a bunch of times.
I know you have, but did he smile and shake your hand too and pat you on the back?
No, he sat here. Well, no.
What did he tell you about, what he's going to do?
He sat here in the studio with me for an hour. We took calls. We took questions. And then I've seen him around the campaign trail, talked to him on the phone. But I saw him over in a Acushnet. No, he answers questions. He's answered all my friends' questions. No,
like what color his car is or something like that? The guy's got to get political, McCarthy. He's not being very political. And again, this is the only chance the Republicans have to put a check somewhat on the Democratic legislature, that he can veto some things. He doesn't even talk about that, you know? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's okay, No, so he talks about the electric rates, what he's going to do, talks about going around, he'll be an ambassador from Massachusetts for companies to come to the state. But I do think as the campaign goes on, and I have some communication with him, as I do with Short Sleeve Oliver as well, that they ought to probably consider doing maybe town hall events.
Yeah.
I think they are considering that.
That
I know
would be
he
good.
Came down, had a big meeting up at Jimmy DeMello's boardroom at the downtown with a lot of people in the business community answering their questions, asking them about what their concerns are, what the government can do or not do to make their business better. So, no, I think that while you're seeing a lot of TV commercials, which is important.
The average guy sees that. That's what the average guy sees.
Right,
you know?
Right. But I think that if you want to plug in to his calendar, you can find it online, and you can meet him.
No. It's his job to go and press the flesh and to talk to people.
No, I know he's doing that.
I'm Mike McNoe, and he's going to go to the average people, not the people who have the money that he knows and everything. Like, okay, he's got the money. I understand all of that. But he's got to give his message to unenrolled people like me, because the Republican Party, you don't have enough of them here, just have Republicans elect them.
Right.
And he's going to say, this is what I'm for. I see that in Short Sleeves commercials. I don't see that in his. I just see, hi, how's everybody? A big smile, this and that.
Where
the
are
other.
You seeing Short Sleeves commercials?
On the TV.
You're seeing TV commercials?
Yes.
From Brian Short Sleeve?
No, from Mike Minogue. I've seen some from Short Sleeve, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen any TV from Brian Short Sleeve. That's why
I've seen it where he's attacking. He's attacking the governor and saying what he'll do when he'll get in and this and that and the other and bring down the electric bills and things like that. That's what's important to the average person.
Totally agree.
I'm sure he relates very well to people who have a lot of money because he's got the most money. You know, that's easy. But if you're going to get the average Joe to go out there and say, yeah, I want Mike Minogue, you know, otherwise, I think, you know, he's just a smiley face. And, yeah, he's done the thing with the hot implement that you put in there and saves people's lives. And
right.
He's got a lady that comes on and says, oh, she likes him and he's a great guy. And hey, I'm a Democrat, but I'm going to vote for him. But why are you going to vote for him? What's he going to do? Or is he just going to be, just an empty suit? To me, right now, he looks like an empty suit. Brian Short Sleeve doesn't.
I think that's excellent.
No,
don't. No, I love it. That's all very good information, right? Is Brian Short Sleeve doing a better job of connecting with individual people than Mike Minogue? I don't know. Look, I've met with both of them extensively, really. And expect to meet with most of them more going forward. Had a lot of conversations with them. They're both wealthy guys. One is more wealthy than the other. Both have served in the military. But I also think that Brian Shortsleeve seems to have, to me, a better social media presence. That's just what I'm seeing. A better social media presence. Mike Minogue has had a better radio appearance. Certainly, he's bought a lot more radio ads, although Brian has bought a lot of radio ads, too. And again, it's a long, long, long campaign. And not everybody's going to make the ballot, right? Not everybody is going to make the ballot. Got to follow Boston Herald. The paper copy will be out tomorrow. Tim Dunn, regular guest here, and with my colleague Barry Richard. Tim Dunn at the Boston Herald covers all politics. And Tim Dunn is keeping me up to date on a story he's covering right now about an attempt to consolidate resources between the Democrat Party, Lieutenant Governor, and Sean Oliver, Lieutenant Governor for the Republican Party, to try to knock Ann Manning Martin. Well, she's not on the ballot, so prevent her from getting on the ballot because of suspected fraud in her signature gathering operation. Now, what I do know from reviewing the campaign finance records of Ann Manning Martin is that by her own admission, okay, she admitted she used this guy where there are numerous allegations of fraud to gather signatures, okay? However, she also gathered someone I know personally. Many of you voted for him, Christopher Thrasher, attorney Christopher Thrasher, who before he became an attorney had a really good career and still has it as a political operative, gathering signatures. And he's worked Democrats and Republicans, unenrolled Libertarians too. Actually, he was very active with the Libertarian Party. He's worked, I think, in every state in the union, Christopher Thrasher, on the Westport School Committee, gregarious guy, smart man, really smart guy, very involved in politics, potentially a candidate for state representative again. But he also has a firm that gathers signatures. And I can see from Ann Manning Martin's campaign finance disclosure, she hired Christopher Thrasher's company to gather some of the signatures to get on the ballot. So right now there's proceedings, and they may continue for a couple days, to prevent Ann Manning Martin, due to potential fraud, from getting on the ballot. And it's a historic agreement between both Republicans and Democrats. As I'm reading the documents, Sean Oliver and the Democrat State Committee have consolidated some resources in their case to try to challenge the signatures. So Tim Dunn's working on that. He'll have all that story in the Boston Herald paper copy tomorrow, but also at bostonherald.com. So really, statewide story, probably a national story, but with a very local twist because it involves our own city councilor, Sean Oliver. All right, back to the open phones. Here we go. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Oh, it's been a beautiful morning. I just came in from doing yard work. So I've been just listening for the last 10 minutes. I got 2 points to make.
Sure.
One is, let's go back to Friday. You had the gentleman on about the repealing that gun control law. I don't know. I mean, seeing the AG worded it in such a funky way, I'm wondering if we do vote to appeal it, would she actually act on it? I mean, she didn't do such a great job with the audit.
Right.
So what makes me think she's actually going to follow through on this?
My
because
fear about that.
She wrote it in such a way to confuse people. So
my fear about that. My fear about that ballot campaign, it's got a lot of great people working on it. It is a marvelous attempt, But my fear is that the voters of Massachusetts are so hostile to the messages of the gun control freaks and the scare tactics and the lack of firearm ownership today. We may end up with a worse situation because of that ballot question.
Well, it's true, but I guess my point really is if we vote to repeal it, would she actually follow through on it because she didn't do it with the audit question? You know, I mean, there's already a history, and that's what right. bothers me. It shows me what the government's doing. And on the my second point, yeah. What the last gentleman was talking about, Brian Shortsleeve, and I've said this on your program before, I've been seeing him on social media since the fall.
Yes.
Mike Minow is a ghost to me. I know really nothing about him. As far as what I see on social media, there's nothing, you know, on him, other than the fact that I hear is he doesn't want to do a debate, which to me boggles my mind. Like, what's the big deal? It's not like I'm asking you to throw $1 million. Why won't you have a debate? What's the negative? You know, because sooner or later you're going to have to do it, or he's just going to rely on the votes he got to get as far as he did with the Republican Party that's going to carry him. I think this is going to hurt him because, to me, this tells me that Minow is very picky about what he wants to address. So is that any good for me? Well, it's better than the government we have. You know, right. It's maybe the lesser of the two evils. But you know what I'm saying.
No, it's a forced, it's an unforced error, however you want to refer to it. I think that his team, and because he's a first-time candidate, is really miscalculating a lot on the debate issue.
And I think it's going to bite him in the end.
I agree. My opinion is that it certainly will be a wound because it makes you, the guy is obviously not, and thanks for the call, the guy is obviously not a chicken. He's not a weakling. He's, you know, he's a war hero, West Point graduate, very successful businessman, all of that stuff. But he's running against a Marine Corps officer who's not a weakling either. And so his strategy was to try to force Brian Shortsleeve out, ignore him out of the race. And I just don't think it's a good strategy. And he's listening to his advisors, at least some of them, who are telling him that's the right strategy. But I got to imagine there are people in the room who are telling him, what's the big deal? Just debate Brian Shortsleeve. He's a first-time candidate, too. And get some practice rounds in. Both of them, Brian and Mike Minogue, are first-time candidates. Very accomplished men, but they never run for office. They're not like Ann Manning Martin or Sean Oliver. Those two have run for office. So anyway, I think they ought to debate, but as people have pointed out to me, and not to defend Mike Minogue, because I think they're probably voting for Healy, actually. People who said this to me said, these are government people. They were in government. They were elected. They said, well, you don't debate. Having a good debate performance or a terrible one is no reflection on how you're going to run the government. And they're right about that. It isn't. It's got no real reflection on whether you will be a good governor, a good treasurer, a good state representative. It's not. Or a good mayor. There's really limited debating skills that are required for that job outside of the election. Right? I mean, look, Mara Healy's probably going to be a great debater. Probably an expert debater. What is an expert debater? Well, we know what a minor league debater is, right? Would she be an expert debater, right? Expert debater. It's an old joke. Many of you have already sounded it out and you got it. But you know I can't say it on the air. Expert debater. But she's a horrible governor, right? Spent a lot of time alone, contemplating, And that's why she's an expert debater. All that time the governor spent alone thinking about the job, thinking about other things. And today she's an expert debater, but she's a horrible, horrible governor, right? She's hardly a master governor, right? She might be good at debating, but she's hardly a master governor. So another thing that's being debated, and you're going to have the opportunity to vote on it, is the Old Colony School. Now, there's an excellent podcast by Joe Pyers. I suggest you find it. You can find it on YouTube. It's all over the place, really. Joe Pyers, who's not going to seek re-election to the school committee. He's done with it. But we all owe Joe Pyers of Rochester a debt of gratitude for his service to the Old Rochester School Committee. And now he's continuing his public service with a podcast. And he interviews Dr. Mike Boucher, who'll be with me on Thursday, about the Old Colony School. Dr. Mike Boucher is an Acushnet Finance Committee member. He's now the chairman, and he served under a great chairman before him who's still on the committee with him, Bob St. Jean. So the Old Colony debate is continuing. You guys voted on it in the towns of Mattapoisett, Carver, Acushnet, Rochester, and Lakeville. And I think you should check out the podcast. And Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, many of you get their information. Many of the smartest of you that want to be the well-informed people sign up for their email. You can do it. It's free. And they keep you really informed. They put out a video recently of one of the local officials. This is a statewide organization. But this Old Colony revote has taken, has captured the attention of a lot of people statewide, okay? Because the people overwhelmingly rejected it in the towns of Mattapoisett. Well, Mattapoisett had actually passed it, but certainly Acushnet, Rochester, Carver, Lakeville, Mattapoisett, in its totality, all rejected the school, the Proposition 2.5 override to build the new school. But they're bringing it up for another vote, all right? They're bringing it up for another vote. This is a clip from Mass Fiscal, but it's the Acushnet Cable Company. This is the Acushnet Select Board, Board of Selectmen in Acushnet. Here we go. This is Mass Fiscal Alliance.
So you lost your vote, you didn't get your way, you're coming back for a second vote. So when the second vote goes and you get your way, if you get your way, are we doing a third vote for a tiebreaker? Or do we just accept the results because we got our way?
So that's Mr. Gaspar, the selectman in Acushnet, speaking here in a clip by Mass Fiscal. It's taken right from Acushnet Cable back to the, you hear what he's saying, right? If they lose again, if the school builder people, people who want to build the school, if they lose again, do you vote again? Or if the people that want to reject the tax increase, if they win, if they lose, do they get to vote again? Right? Back to Mr. Gaspar. Selectman Gaspar.
That's what I'm being hit with out there.
Acushnet Select Board Chair Kevin Gaspar voicing the frustration he has heard from the public about a June 20th revote for a new Old Colony High School. It's the same project that taxpayers overwhelmingly rejected in November by a 62-38 margin.
They're not happy about it. I'll come straight out and tell you straight up. New Old Colony wants to revote the same school again. And people are pretty aggravated about that.
In addition to an increase in property taxes to pay for the new $288 million school, project documents indicate enrollment and staffing will expand. That means rising operating costs for the five towns that make up the Old Colony School District.
It's going to force us into an override.
It's an automatic force override. Right. I already talked about
that. And I can never support an override. Prop 2.5 is...
That's Ryan Resendiz, another member of the Select Board, the Board of Selectmen out there in Acushnet, okay? Saying to you that the town of Acushnet, if you pass this new school debt override, okay, you're going to be forced in Acushnet to deal with the costs that are related to bigger staffs, more students. And that, in his estimation, will require a general Proposition 2.5. The school is limited, if you consider 20 years limited, which it is. But if you pass the limited override for the school, the debt exclusion, this Saturday, in his informed opinion, Acushnet will then have to consider doing a general Proposition 2.5 override, which raises your taxes forever to fund the increased costs related to the new school. That is the override for different reasons that Fairhaven just overwhelmingly rejected. So you got to think really hard, Rochester, Acushnet, Carver, Mattapoisett, Lakeville. Right? Back to the clip. Again, this is Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance.
This is our protection. We pay taxes every which direction.
Acushnet joins Rochester in expressing financial concerns about meeting its obligation to pay its portion of the annual operating costs.
Yes, we have a new school. Yes, it's going to hit the tax base. Yes, it's going to be a burden on the taxpayers. But how then
this is Adam Murphy,
pay that
Rochester
and then balance our budget?
I commend the people that have said, we've had enough. We're not giving you any more money. It's just that the ask is just too much, and people just can't afford it anymore. So it is what it is. We'll see how that vote turns out on June 20th.
The Fiscal Alliance Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit 501c3 organization. Visit our website to read more about our alternative energy policy studies, sign up for important email updates, make a tax-deductible contribution, and follow us on social media.
Get your way, you're coming back for a second vote. So,
all right, so that's two local boards of selectmen, Rochester and Acushnet, talking about not just the vote on the 20th, this coming Saturday. You'll have a vote. Do whatever you want to do, right, if you live in those towns. But they're giving you the information ahead of time. In their informed opinion, Rochester and Acushnet are very concerned, the leadership, about how do we pay for the year-on-year operating costs to run this new school if it's ever built. So you've got to think about that. Also, you got to think about the fact that costs aren't going down and that you may need, well, a lot of experts over there believe you do need a new Old Colony school, and they want to add all this Green New Deal energy stuff to it, which is driving the costs up. But a lot of people in the towns clearly agree that you need a school. And do you think costs are going to go down or going to go up? Well, it's kind of interesting because if you elect a new governor, potentially some new legislators, where you have a choice, right? Some you have no choice at all anyway because the Republicans aren't running candidates. It's a story for another time. There are potential reforms to the building codes, the Green New Deal energy stuff, which is really foolish and extremely expensive, that with a new governor, maybe some new legislators, you can reform that and bring costs down immediately. So you could still, in the future, build a new vocational school, call it Old Colony, but not have to pay as much because it won't have all these Green New Deal requirements for energy in it. So it's pretty interesting. Take a break, then we'll be right back. Love to hear your opinions, particularly if you live in any of these towns, which you'll be voting on Saturday, whether to raise your taxes to build a new school or to not raise your taxes to build a new school. We'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, is your car making noises? Does it need repair work? Have you got it ready for the coming really hot weather, which can damage cars significantly? Probably not. So bring your car to Mac Auto Sales. Make an appointment. They're located on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Mac Auto Sales, a family-owned business that repairs all makes and models of automobiles, including the one that you drive. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming hot weather, and I'm sure you do, call Mac Auto Sales and Repair. Make an appointment today at 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5, for your convenience. You drive a foreign car, perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They do a splendid job with American-made as well. Mention WBSM, they'll give you a nice break on the repair bill. They do all the vehicles here from Fun 107 to WBSM. We got a nice fleet. They take care of all of it. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and the quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. So, this vote on a new school, new vocational school, it will be on Saturday. You guys in the towns of Mattapoisett, Rochester, Carver, Lakeville, and Acushnet have rejected this already once. Okay? They asked for a re-education period where they've re-educated you. Have you changed your mind about voting to build a new school? Has that changed? Have you learned anything different that would get you to change your mind about the school? Look, I got to tell you something. I'm a member of the media. I'm a member of the local community. I really haven't heard anything that would change my mind if I've already come to an opinion and voted in the election to pay for a new school. I got to tell you something. I haven't heard a single thing, one way or the other, that would have changed my mind. And there's a couple things I know about politics. If the same people show up to vote in an election with the same opinion they had last time, the election result will be the same. That's why incumbents usually win, okay? Because generally speaking, the same people show up to vote again and they feel the same way they did when they voted for that person. That's generally why incumbents always get reelected. Different people have to show up, or the same people have to show up with a different opinions. And I haven't heard anything one way or the other that makes me believe that any of you have been persuaded from one opinion to an entirely different opinion on the school. So that's why I think I can comfortably predict that once again, you're going to reject that school, regardless of how I feel about it. I don't live there. I don't pay taxes in those communities. But I really think, and then you add in the extra added aggravation of having these people on the school committee, these school administrators, discounting the people's opinion when 62% of you said no. I think if anything, the turnout's going to be higher, and it's going to be people aggravated with having to reaffirm their original opinion to these people, their leaders, right? I think it's only going to be a more of a rejection of the school. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
What's happening?
Hey, Chris. I am a Fairhaven resident, but I do know about these green schools. Mm-hmm. So 14 years ago, I was part of the Monterey Regional School District, building and putting in a green school. It sounded great. The engineers, the architects sold it. This is fantastic. Just a couple of years later, everything was obsolete. Lighting fixtures, the system for the lighting. Oh, yeah, it sounds great. You're going to save a ton on electricity. Now it's $450,000 to replace it.
Oh,
that's 14 short years later. We've been just kicking the can down the road on it. So we should have done it about 8 years ago. So in the first year, right, a green school can't use propylene glycol inside of rooftop units, which is your HVAC, of course. We froze up a unit because we had to use water. But this unit froze up. There was no freestat protection in it. And it cost, it was $750,000 worth of damage because it leaked right through the media center library.
Oh my God.
These green schools are a nightmare. Everyone knows that the technology today is gone tomorrow.
Yep.
You just keep pushing it up. And when you do that, you have to upgrade the systems. And then once something goes, we don't have the software for that anymore. You'd be amazed how we shook our heads saying, are you kidding me? We can't get the same fixtures that you sold us on, less than a decade ago. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do a green building. As far as building school, I don't know what that building looks like, but do not go with this green. It sounds good,
yep. But
it costs you so much more money because there are professionals that deal with the systems. We had to bring a guy in from Georgia to work in the lighting system because no one knew how to program a specific system that we got sold on. I'm telling you, if I could write a book on it, I would. Don't fall into that trap. That's just my advice to the voters. Hold off. Do not do a green building. It sounds good, but it's not what you want to do. It's a nightmare.
Wow. That is great information. I appreciate that.
Chris, I'm a wealth of knowledge on this. Unfortunately, I lived it, and I had to oversee the building. So it was my nightmare every day. This isn't working. Well, what do we do? I don't know what's happening. Can I get the specialist in? No, he can't come here for four weeks, a month. So everything was prolonged. You don't call your electrician anymore. You don't call your basic HVAC person. Everything is different. All the software, the controls, the BMS, which is the controls for the heating, which all sounds good. It's great. Oh, yeah. But for people that don't know and sit on these committees, they shake their head up and down like a bobblehead. This is great. Well, it's not. When you get into it, it's a nightmare because what it costs to revamp it when need be, and you do. It doesn't last forever. So those upgrades are coming down the road, too. You haven't even built a school yet. You know that's coming down the road.
Hey, thank you for the call, my friend. Don't be a stranger. What a contribution to the program. Really appreciate it. Look, the public relations firm, which is weird to me, okay, that a superintendent has a public relations firm, that's weird to me as a child of a school administrator. Long, my dad's passed on now, but I'll always be his son, right? So I learned a lot. I never heard of schools having a public relations firm. Steve Furtado, when he was superintendent, was the public relations firm. Dr. Flynn was the public relations firm. It's part of being a superintendent. But anyway, his public relations firm reached out to Tim. I got back to them. They've never gotten back to me. Of course, they, maybe because they didn't communicate with me originally, maybe this PR, maybe my email went to spam or went to junk. I don't know. But I offered to bring on the Old Colony superintendent. I watched a lot of videos with him in it. Seems like a decent enough guy, a knowledgeable guy, certainly. And I'd love to have him come on to talk about the school, but I haven't heard back. This hour has been brought to you by the cold beer in the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back. So, you people out there, we got a lot of decisions to make. But if I'm an elected Democrat, right, here in Massachusetts, I am going to have one of my many, 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 many staff members or myself type up a press release distancing myself from the support for Plattner. You have to do that if you're a state representative or a candidate running for any of those jobs. If you're a state senator or a candidate running on the Democrat Party label as a Democrat here in Mass, because the governor, the top leadership of the Democrat Party, your two longtime elected U.S. senators, they've all endorsed this Graham Plattner, the Nazi, the guy with the Nazi tattoo for 17 years. So therefore, as a member of the media, I've got to assume, unless you do what U.S. Senator, what the U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania did, and quickly say, hey, listen, guys, whatever he is, but you distance yourself, right? Then you can go on with a humble brag about all the great work you and the Democrats do for your district. No problem. I'll be happy to read it. But if you don't do that, I'm going to have to assume you're following the governor's lead. Remember when she wanted to raise the auto excise tax? Triple it? A lot of Democrats smartly came on this program.